drinking by the gallons and screaming for more. They're drinking wine, Bodie Odie, drinking wine. Wine, Bodie Odie, drinking wine. Wine, Bodie Odie, drinking wine. Yeah,
Mark, I learned this from you, that despite the common perception that all wines get better with age, more than 90% of all wines should be consumed within 1 year of their production. So as you're kind of explaining your acres and how many vines per acre and all that fun stuff, tell us a little bit more about that. And then I'm wanting to ask you about the market you serve, like who's your perfect profile customer?
Right. And that. Sure, yeah. So in terms of acreage, Flying Leap has about 40 planted acres of grapes. So that's like actual planted acres of grapevines on the ground, about 40, a little bit more, but I'm just rounding down. If we turned every single grape that we grow in Arizona into wine, we could make about 8,000 cases of wine. Okay, that puts it in, and most, I'd say, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I wish I did, but I'm gonna take a stab at this, Julie, and I think. The average American winery produces about between 2,000 and 3,000 cases. Okay. So Flying Leap is a fairly large, small winery, but we're not the largest. There's several that are larger than us here in Arizona. But I don't believe anybody in Arizona is producing more than 15,000 cases a year. So it's a small production state. We don't buy grapes from anybody, and until this year, we haven't sold grapes to anybody, but we are selling some fruit this year to some others.
So
now, in terms of wine, you're correct. Most, first of all, there's a bunch of things about wine that a lot of people don't know that they assume they do know. One of them, most red wine is not aged in oak barrels. That's a common myth. Most red wine is tank aged. For example, all of our wine that we make in Argentina is aged in concrete tanks, so it's tank aged. So an oak barrel is a great way to age red wine, but there's a lot of risks with oak. Oak's very expensive, and any wine that's coming out of an oak barrel will tend to have a pretty substantial premium put upon it because it's much more expensive to oak age wine that is tank age wine, and the barrels themselves are quite expensive, and there's a lot of risk that goes in to barrel aging. So and also most red wine doesn't age well. Most doesn't. And
that's kind of exciting for me because I'm not a wine investor. So when I buy it, I like to drink it. So if you're telling me I should drink it in a year or two, I'll do that.
I'll join you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Most wine is best consumed when it's young, but that's not ubiquitous. There's a lot of wines that do age really, really well. But there's a lot of folks that spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a 50-year-old bottle of wine and open it to find out it's vinegar. So so the older a wine is, the riskier it is, but you can also be rewarded because a finely aged wine is one of life's true, true indulgences if you get a really good one. So, that's kind of the mystery of wine and the beauty of it. But most red wines are best consumed young when they're fresh, especially wines that are, light tannins like Grenache, for example, that we grow. Young Syrahs are very spicy, great with food. A lot of white wines are delicious when they're fresh. They're best when they're fresh. Anyway, that's all a matter.
Mark?
Yes, sir.
This is the most important question about wine that's been going on for years. Cork or screw top?
It depends. Okay, this depends. So, scientifically speaking, there is no doubt that a screw top is the best way to seal a bottle of wine and protect the wine from oxidation. Okay. A screw top is by far the best. That's been mathematically proven repeatedly through testing. However, a cork is a lot funner. People like popping corks. They're traditional. It's been done for centuries, of course. And also, a cork does allow a small amount of oxygen to reach the wine in the bottle. And that tiny amount of oxygen is considered to be it can really enhance the flavor of the wine in the bottle. So, if you're going to age a wine, a cork is considered the best way to age a wine, but it's riskier because you can get cork taint and If the cork isn't really high quality, you can get the wine can taint. I will tell you this: in a bottle of we use cork on all of our wine. The cork that goes on into our bottles is more expensive than the bottle.
Oh, wow. And speaking of corks, a cork tease is someone who talks about the wine he or she will open but never opens it, which I think is just scandalous because we should always open our wine. So tell me, give me the profile of your customers and tell us, you know, you're open for business even on the retail side, even though you're doing a lot of wholesale and you've got your club members. But if I'm going to check out Flying Lee, you know, who's your profile customer? Give us the lowdown.
Our typical customer, okay, is 40 years old and older, typically married, and you know, that person walks around with a Flying Leaf designator right on their back, because that is who we are marketing our product to, and that's who primarily purchases our product and joins our wine club. 40, 50, and over. Typically, you're talking Gen X and above. Millennials will drink wine, but they won't buy it. And millennials are into craft beers right now and spirits, which we also make.
So you actually are taking care of the whole spectrum of the market then. And
we try to.
And if I want to come up with my friends, and you know, everybody's going to head up there now that we've heard about you. So, you know, we're in a pandemic. I heard you expanded your tasting room.
Hey, let me tell you something, Julie, and this is awesome, because number one, wine country is a getaway. You can get away from the city. So if you're looking to get away to a place that's less crowded, less hurried, and way more relaxing, nothing beats a road trip down to wine country. Number two, our property is gigantic. We have massive outdoor patios with beautiful gardens that are meticulously maintained with shade. And we also have two large, spacious tasting rooms. So if you're concerned about being elbow to elbow with somebody, that is not happening.
It's not going to happen. Rosie has a question for you.
Oh, I think Mark just hit it on the head. Being in Arizona since the 60s, when Mark and his buddies were freshmen at the Air Force Academy, I could be driving anywheres through southern Arizona. I could walk into the Stage Stop in Patagonia. I could walk into the Copper Queen. I could walk into the Gadsden. I could go to Sonoyta Inn. No reservations. If I was a repeat customer, I could get a room for $19.
Yeah.
Then the wine industry hit southern Cochise County, and you can't get a room down there for under $100, and you better call and make a reservation first.
Yes.
I don't think the wine industry has gotten near the credit the Office of Tourism should give it for driving people into these communities. Camp Verde, Cottonwood, Wilcox, Bisbee, Sonoyta,
yes,
Elgin, Patagonia. I mean, I've seen it happen just in my little old life, just trying to get rooms down there, because that's one of my favorite places to vacate. And Sonoyta, Elgin Chamber of Commerce used to do a three-day event called Wine, Dine, and Unwind. Me and Jennifer would make a reservation a year in advance and go down there and stay at Walker Ranch, and we just had a ball. So that's the one unsung credit that the wine industry really should, they should own that.
And ag loves it because it's one of the most significant products that adds value to a raw commodity, in this case, wine grapes. And Mark, you've been adding value for the last 10 years. And if anyone goes to your website, Flying Leap Vineyards and Distillery, they'll get the whole lowdown and they'll get to see some of the beautiful shots from the photography of what your wine tasting room looks like. And you have other wine tasting rooms throughout the state of Arizona, correct?
Yeah, we do. We have retail venues in Tubac, Tucson, Bisbee, Wilcox, and Prescott. And so we take our show on the road, if you will, and we have a very, very large wine club. And so for us, we put venues around the state so that our wine club members have convenient access to their member benefits, which is a really nice little way that we provide service and value to our club members. But Rosie, I agree with you 100%. And the wine industry in the state has created jobs. You got to remember there, I think there are 15 counties in Arizona, and you know, Cochise and Santa Cruz County in particular are among among the poorest per capita. And that's where the wine industry is. And so planting grapes is investing money and capital and bringing jobs to some of the parts of our state that need jobs and capital infusion most.
And speaking of that, I mean, obviously you've already expanded. When you first started out, you guys thought you were just going to grow the wine grapes and sell them. And now you've become retail wholesale club members. And in 30 seconds, are you expanding your market?
Almost exponentially. We are one of the only Arizona wineries that I'm aware of that has their own distribution company. So there was so much headwind in getting products distributed with the major distributors that we just decided to make our own distribution company. That's what we've done. And so we directly distribute our products to wholesale accounts. We primarily distribute in Tucson because it's close to where we make our wines. It's much, much easier to provide service to our accounts there, but we're statewide now. We have a rapidly growing wholesale market up in northern Arizona right now, which is really wonderful. And yeah, we are growing. We're bringing in more wine. We got 36 employees currently at Flying Leap, and we just hired 4 more. So we're growing, we're expanding, and we're bringing jobs to this part of the state. It's wonderful.
Rumi has a question for you.
You gave an incredible tease about your acreage, and Southern Arizona's beautiful country, and you've got all this room and all this space, but you didn't say how to get there.
It's a piece of cake. You take 10 south, you get to Tucson. When you're heading out of Tucson towards El Paso, you'll get to scenic Highway 83. It's the second exit past Houghton. As you're going out of Tucson, you can't miss it. There's a big, beautiful scenic highway sign. It'll take you to wine country. You just turn south, and you're going to go 30 miles. You're going to get to the small town of Sonoyta, and from there, you can branch out. I believe there are 13 wineries down here right now, and you can buy a glass at one property, and you can use that at all the other properties. And there's a lot of tour buses that come down here, limousines, family trips. You can bring a picnic down here. We're in this little bitty town of Elgin. I know you're all in the radio studio right now, but I am sitting out here right now in our vineyard, and you just cannot believe how peaceful, quiet, and gorgeous it is down here today.
I've got a question for you, Mark. When Jennifer and I were in Elgin about a month ago, we were just off a road at Lyle Canyon, and we were watching one grape orchard, and we counted 6 antelope, 4 turkey, and I think there were 7 deer, 2 different varieties, a whitetail and a mule. And that doesn't count the birds. I mean, what do y'all do? How appealing is the grape to wildlife?
You know, that's a great question. We obviously fence our vineyards to protect them from animals. The deer still get in here. They like to nibble on the grapes, especially in the fall when the grapes are really, really sweet. Deer have a sweet tooth, I have learned. But we also have javelina down here, and believe it or not, the birds.
Yes.
You know, I'd say probably about 5% of our total grape crop goes to the birds. They eat it. Not a lot we could do about it. We've tried every technique we know of, and there's just really nothing other than netting them.
Rosie knows some Cajun recipes to take care of that, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we also own a barbecue company called Arizona Rub, and you can go on there to our recipe section, and all kinds of great recipes for cooking up your cooking with wine and cooking with barbecue.
We've been talking with Mark Burrs of the Flying Leap Ranch. You know, the one thing that hasn't been said this whole time is, Mark, thank you for your service.
Oh, hey, it was great. It was a pleasure to serve our country, both Mark, Tom, and I, all of us did, and it's wonderful. We actually have several veterans on staff, and I will pass along your kind words to them as well.
FlyingLeapVineyard.com.